have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Get up on your feet in here. Woo! the highest praise. Come on, come on. Give up the highest praise. Up your mouth. Come on. You gotta say something.
God of all flesh. besides him, there is none other. And I thank God for the opportunity to be able to acknowledge him, to know who he is, to have that personal relationship with the Father through the Son. Because it's written, he that hath the Son hath the Father already, but he who denieth the Son denieth the Father. So, with that being said, I think we'll slow down just a little bit, have a moment of prayer, and we'll get into the word for the night. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to bring forth your word. We thank you for every listening ear. We thank you for our producer. We thank you, Lord God, for how you use to open this particular broadcast up tonight. We give you praise, Lord God, that we can open up our mouths and say something. We can give you praise. We can give you honor. We can give you glory. We can worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father God, as we come before you right now and send forth your word, we dispatch angels to do warfare. We bind up every distraction. We bind up every principality of the air that will try to stop this broadcast, or very much even stop the program, or try to you know, come against the podcast, Elation Radio. We bind everything that's not like Christ that will try to hinder your move, God. And we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. Now, Father God, as I, that you may give the increase, I ask, Father God, in Jesus' name, that everything be done in decency and in order, that you be glorified in the earth. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and even to those that are yet still lost. May they find total salvation. May they find deliverance. And may they find happiness. And may they find joy. And may they find peace. Only through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 and amen. Last week, we dealt with fear. We talked about fear. And one of the things that that I'm seeing and that I'm kind of hearing from time to time is the situation that's at hand. Concerning inflation and a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of things such as is having bearing on some people. However, we have a God, the one and true living God, who has the remedy and has the answer to all situations. I'm not afraid to pronounce his name. I'm not afraid to say his name, and his name is Jesus. Jesus. I've had some interesting conversations over the past 2-3 days, very interesting, because I see where the spirit of the Antichrist is at work. I see where, some of y'all would be surprised at how many people out there feel that because you are a born-again believer, or because you are a Christian, you're not supposed to, they think you're supposed to be broke, busted, and disgusted. That is not so. I'm bringing this word, I know, because God wants to comfort us in times like this. What a lot of people can't understand is that in times like famine, God used these opportunities in a lot of cases to show that he is God. When everything else is all tow up around you, but because you have been washed in the blood, and because he has his hand on you, and because he has a hedge upon you or around you, famine don't touch you. Famine may not affect you as much as it affects others, because you're connected to the divine source of God. There is plenty of scriptures that about such. However, you have a lot of people out there that they swell up, they get upset when you mention money. If you mention money, they get upset and they think that the church is the biggest hustle. I had to tell someone the other day, I said, listen, but hold up. I mean, the church have bills too. I mean, you have no problem with nobody else receiving money. You have no problem with no other organizations receiving money. But for some reason, you got a problem with the church pick up an offering. And what a lot of people fail to see is that a lot of people, when it comes to the things of God, I'm not saying all people, when it comes to the things of God, the church of God, and I'm not trying to beat people up, but I'm being real. A lot of people, when it comes to the things of God and the church of God, a lot of them want $1 million blessing, but they only want to put a dollar in the plate. God, I didn't mean to go over in that, but I did. But it's true. A lot of people want $2. They want to give $2, and they want $1 million. Like, hey, let's be real. I bet you quite a few people may have gone up there, and I think the lottery might be $228 million, but I'm quite sure some people are looking to pay a dollar or two and maybe get lucky and hit that $228 million. But on the flip side of that, I bet you there's a lot of people that's pulling a whole lot more tickets than that in order to win $228,000. They ain't even flinching at what the ticket may be costing or the number of tickets they buy. They just know that they won't get out of the situation that they're in. They know $228 million can fix that. Let me move on. God has a system, and God takes care of his people. I'm going to say that again. God has a system, and God takes care of his people. David said, I've been young, I've been old, I've never seen the wretched forsaken, nor his seed begging of bread. I'm quite sure that during the time that David was old, time that David was young, I'm quite sure there were times that he saw some kind of shortage or some kind of famine in the land, but he still never saw the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging of bread. Now, when I just said that, God just took my mind back to something. Because some things that we see that may be a shortage, it may be a man-made type shortage. Might be a man-made type shortage. But see, I'm going to tell a little bit on myself. Yeah, I'm going to tell a little bit on myself to prove a point. In my younger days, I can remember them saying we had a shortage of gas. That's why I say I'm quite sure David saw some things, whether he was young or whether he was old, but he never saw the righteous forsaken or his seed begging the bread. Because I can remember when I was not so old, they said there was a shortage of gas. And it was so short, supposedly so short on gas, till you had to go on certain days. You just couldn't go on any day and get gas like you can now. They had an odd day and an even day. So if your tag number ended on an odd day, you could go on, let's say, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And if your tag number ended on an even number, you could go Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. That's the way they had it set up, because there was supposedly a shortage on gas. Another sign of what we would call famine. But I said this is that, you know, even during the time that I might not have been in right standing with God, I see how God moved. I see how God kept me. I saw how God provided for me, provided for the family. But my family, even though may not have been in my full right standing with God, there were still some things that I did believe, I did honor. My parents did believe in tithing. They did tithe. I did tithe. And bless God. What I'm saying is God would take care of his own. He would take care of his own. And a lot of times we get caught up with this hustle and bustle of this world system. And because of it, I'm quite sure that depression hits. Once depression hits, anxiety hits, or whatever, whichever hits first. And sometimes, in some cases, people commit suicide, they commit all kinds of different acts, all kinds of different murders. But that's simply because we take our eyes off of God or the things of God. Let's go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. And we'll start at the 25th verse. And this is Jesus talking. He said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for the body. What ye shall put on, is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Now Jesus is saying, don't be worrying about your life. Don't be worrying about what you should eat. Don't be worrying about what you should drink, nor yet for your body. He says, what ye shall put on. Don't worry about what you're going to be putting on. That took me back. It took me back to my years of high school. I can remember being in high school and different concerts would come to town, and there were certain girls I would talk to, and immediately they'd say, "Well, I got to go get me another outfit. I got to go get me another dress. I got to go get me this, that, and the third." And you say, "Why?" "Cause this concert is coming, and I got to be right for this concert." And I'm like, "Well, you don't have nothing already? I mean, you know, there's nothing left to have." "Yeah, but I was suddenly so, and I'm not wearing that to this concert, because I wore it last concert." And I'm thinking to myself, honey, I guarantee you, most people not going to remember what you wore the last concert. Because, I mean, it wasn't like concerts was happening every day or every month at that particular time. So I'm like, why you got to go and spend more money on something? Probably already have something nice and presentable already there in the closet. But that's what we do. Sometimes that's what we do. We give so much thought to what it is we've got to put on. And God is saying, don't even worry about it. In so many words, God said, "I got you. I got you covered. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, I got you covered." So he starts to break it down to them. In the 26th verse, he says, "Behold, the fowls of the air." He said, "Look at the birds in the air." He said, "For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather in the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And he says, and are you not much better than they? Oh, my God. Behold the fowls of the air. They don't sow. They don't reap. In other words, they don't work with what they get. He said, they don't sow. They don't reap. They don't gather up stuff into barns like we do a lot of times. We get something. Not only do we get it, we hold on to it. There's another word that I wanted to use. Hoard. Yeah. Sometimes we begin to hoard different things, holding on to things that we have no use for. We just hoard different things. But God is saying, and the reason why some of us do that is because we don't really know how to trust God for the next thing that's coming in. Some of us have to come to the place and come to the knowledge that there's some things that God wants us to get rid of in order to get. Sometimes God sets you up to get rid of the old in order to, for the new to come. So you have to be very attentive to what it is you're holding that you're holding on to, because God is a God that believes in promotion. He's a God that wants to take you to the next step. He wants to take you to the next phase. He wanted to take you. I remember the Osbournes had a song saying, take me to the next phase. But I remember, see, God wanted to take us from glory to glory. We don't put in our minds that, you know, we are created by God. We are created by God. And we forget that the same things we like to have for our children, God want to give to his children. We don't want our kids to be shabby. God don't want his to be shabby. But there's instructions. There are things that God has set in place in order to rectify, justify, and release the blessing to us. Obedience is always a key factor. Because a lot of times God will say, if you do this, I'm going to do that. If you do this, if I do that. Well, the flip side of it is, if you don't do that, then I can't do that. I won't do that because it goes against my word. See, he tells us that there's not one good thing that he will withhold from them who walk upright. God has a requirement that we walk in obedience towards him. Are we going to be perfect? No. Are we going to make mistakes? Yes. But are you willing to repent? Are you willing to shake the dust off and say, God, forgive me. I made a mistake. Let's try this thing again. Because he is a God that is long-suffering, not willing that any man should perish, but that all men come unto repentance. He is a good God. He is a just God. And God is saying that if he will take care of the fowls of the air, and he says that we are far more important to him than the fowls of the air. He said, then are you not much better than that? He said, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Think about it. Can we make ourselves taller? No. We'd like to. Back in the day, I think I would have liked maybe 4 more inches. Would have had a nice NBA career, hopefully. But he said we can't change that. So why are we taking thought and why are we worried about certain things that God is in control of, that God can handle for you? He said, And why take ye not thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. He says, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon was the wisest man on earth, a wisest man we know of anyway too. But even Solomon with his riches, God was saying his stuff didn't look as good as what he clothed the field with. And God does that out of nothing. Out of nothing. So a lot of times we just get caught up in different materialistic things that we have no business getting caught up with. I keep hearing over and over again, and I know that some people grind, as they call it. Grind. And I know I might sound a little loony right about now, what I'm talking about. But I've been in that grind. Up until the point of where God began to start showing me that grind can become your God. When that began to happen, his wrath began to kindle. And it got to the place to where that's basically when God began to start really dealing with me about coming into the ministry or going into the ministry full time. Because my attention was being drawn so much farther away from him than anything else. It was concerning my job. He is a good God. He is a grateful God, gracious God. He is a merciful God, but he's also a God of, and he also is a God that is a jealous God. He don't want no other idols before him. And sometimes we get caught up in different things, and before we know it, something has become an idol to us, and it upsets God. So some of you may be in a situation that you can't understand why you're having problems on your job right now. Could it be that you've fallen in love with that job so much to where God is saying, okay, I need you to move on. I need you to get away. I need you to get uncomfortable. I need you to go to this other job because you're looking at this job as your source, and that job is not your source. The job is just a job that I gave you is me. It is not your God for you to say, well, uh-oh, I'm about to get in trouble. I'm saying this because I've been there. This job, you have a post in the house of the Lord. You know you're supposed to be in the house of the Lord on Sunday, but yet you look at a certain situation and you say, I'm going to do some overtime Sunday instead of being on your post. My God, I might have hurt somebody. I might have hit somebody with that. But that's real stuff. And after a while, God will, he can and did. I can't tell you anything that I haven't experienced. Got upset with me concerning that. To me it was just, easy money. I can use the money. I'm not preaching this week, so let me go on and then get that money. But it's not always just about preaching, especially for some of you all that's out there flowing in the prophetic. So you have to be on your post, God, because even though you might not be on, you may not be actually supposedly preaching that particular day, but there's still probably a word in your mouth that you need to prophesy to someone to break them loose, to set them free, and upbuild them or uphold them in what God has got for them. sometimes you might, it may not be the one that's actually preaching that day. It may be you that God wants to use to edify someone, to comfort someone, to speak a word in due season, to lose someone, to build somebody up who's been torn down. So, yes, there's certain things that God do. How did I get into this? There's certain things that God do expect from us. But God is talking about here is that if we'll do our part as believers, God's going to do his part. And yet, in the 23rd verses of death, wherefore is, no, in 29 verses, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in his glory, we did read that, was not arrayed like one of these. 30th verse says, wherefore is God, so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He's talking about, hey, he's clothing the field with beautiful colors. Daisies are very beautiful. Violets are very beautiful. Roses are very beautiful. And he's saying what he's clothing them with may be here today, but in the oven tomorrow. I mean, you wouldn't think to do something like that with, you know, high-end clothes, high-end material. It's here today, clothed today, and then it's gone tomorrow. But God is saying, you know, hey, I'm able to take care of you. I'm able to take care of you without any problem. So why worry? Why worry? He said, therefore, 32 it says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall ye be clothed? 32 says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Whatever we have need of, God already know what we have need of. I don't think I want to let that out of the bag right now. But I've been in certain places. I've been in certain things. And I've had God speak to me what I needed, even though I felt very comfortable without having what he said I needed. I really had no choice in the matter, because what he said, he was going to send me what I needed. I couldn't argue with him. He said, I'm sending it. So I'm like, okay, God, thank you. I receive it. You say I need it. Because he knows better than I do. He knows better than what you do. Our problem is sometimes we think we know better than God. And sometimes what we're trying to tell God we need, God said, no, you don't need that. Especially when it gets down to the personal part where we start saying, God, this is who I need. And God like, no, you don't need that. I got something for you. I got somebody for you. But no, that what you want to hold on to is not, it's not, that ain't what you want. I said, he knows what goes on behind the scenes. He knows what goes on in their own little personal hidden closets. But we think and we look from outside looking in and we think we can handle a certain thing, but that doesn't necessarily be so. He said, for all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He said, but here's the key. He said, like I was saying earlier, he has a system. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day, evil thereof. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not your righteousness, but his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first, saying it again, the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you seek God first, if you put God first, if you make God first, if you make him first, he's going to do his part. If you seek him first, he goes in his righteousness. He said, and all these things that you have need of, God said, I'm going to give them to you. I'm going to place them there for you. A lot of things, if you just do your part, if you just seek God first, a lot of things will just come to you. You won't have to, a lot of things you won't have to even work for. It just will come to you. He said he will cause men, he said he will cause men to come and give you blessings, give you gifts. He said gifts. He calls men to give you gifts unto your bosom, pressed down, shaken together, running over, what he calls men to give you gifts. A lot of people don't understand. I was telling somebody not too long ago, a lot of people don't understand that grace or favor will go a long way farther than money. Favor can get you some things that money can't get. Favor. And see, God is the one who controls favor, both with him and with man. If you got God's favor, you can do some stuff. Even if you don't have the necessary funds, because see, the heart of the king is in the hand of God. And whatsoever way God turns it, it is, like we say, it is what it is. It is what it is. So the key is, or one of the very keys is seek ye God. Seek ye God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added unto you. Let's look at Psalms 128, verse 2. He says, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shall thou be, and it shall be well with thee. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands, and happy shall thou be. Don't you feel good when you done a day's work, you done got paid, and you go get what you want, what how you want, and you don't have to be looking over your shoulder because you done stole something, or because you done stole something, or you got it in some kind of dishonest way. He said, happy shall you be, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shall thou be, and it shall be well with thee. It shall be well with thee. A lot of people, I run into it so much, especially on social media. So many people that are out there are hitting you up, posing as somebody else. They don't want to do no more than text, because if they text, you know, if they do more anything more than text, they're afraid they're going to give themselves away as to who they really are. And they think, I know, they're talking about send me $100. I don't know you. Maybe I'm helping somebody with this, because there's a lot of scammers out there. You're going to send me a text. You don't want no more than text with me. And then you want me to send you $100. I don't. Who raised you? I mean, you have not even developed. You have not even developed a friend or a relationship with a particular person. When you come out day number one, 15 minutes in, give me $100. You just showed your hand. If they can't see that they're not interested in you. They're interested in what you can give them. And shame on you. You supposed to know that. Like I said, there's a lot of scammers out there. And a lot of them I've told more times than one, there's a reason why I carry my money in my back pocket. And that's simply because I come first. You get to know me before you get to know my money. I'm not putting my money out there first so you can know my money before you get to know me. No, it don't work that way. Oh, man, this is some stuff right here. If you tell some of them to go back and look throughout their life and see how many friends they have that's still with them for 5, 7, 10 years, and then you ask them, okay, look at how that particular relationship started. Did it start off by you asking them for $100? Because 9 times out of 10, if you ask them for $100, $50, $25 from the very beginning, 15 minutes in, I was in. I guarantee you that was based on money, and that's over with. It's done. It's a wrap. They're not there. But if you went into a relationship and it just gradually grew to the place to where you got to know who they were and you got to build some trust and you got to build some understanding, then, you know, you might not even have to know money. I might just see that you're in a hard place, and I may just offer you some. Just like, hey, that's anybody. If it's a true friendship, oh, man, how did I – let me get off. Let me hurry up and finish this thing right here. But I'm saying what I'm saying because God desires for his people to be blessed. There's too many people running around thinking that because you are a child of God, a man of God, that you're not supposed to be blessed. Flip side of that, you got a lot of people that realize that because you are a child of God, a man of God, a woman of God, that you are blessed, and because you are blessed, you're supposed to just give, 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 give. Oh, God. And if you don't give, 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 when they want you to give, 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 then all of a sudden they want to discredit you for who you are. No, that it don't work that way. I'm very much still saved if I tell you no. I'm still very much an apostle if I tell you no. Apostle, why are you talking like that? Because there's some that don't want to do no better. I'll say that again. There's some that don't want to do no better. Prime example, going uptown, guy asked me, sir, I'm hungry. Will you buy me something to eat? I said, yes, sir. I said, we 5, 10 steps away from this particular restaurant. And we walks in the door and he looks at some kind of steak sandwich. Now, I mean, he didn't look at the cheapest thing on the menu. He looked at some kind of steak sandwich. And evidently he had been in there more times than I've been in there because he noticed that the price of the sandwich had gone up. So then he looks at me and says, no, I don't want one from here. there's another spot on the block. They're a new joint. I want to go try theirs. I don't know if anybody else is catching on to what I'm picking up here, but how are you going to tell somebody you're hungry and they're willing to give you something, but you want to turn it down so you can go and get something? You're really not that hungry. you're not that hungry. I mean, if you're doing like this scripture right here, and you're enjoying the fruit of your labor with your hand, then that's when you get to choose where it is you want a sandwich from. But y'all all have heard the saying, beggars can't be choosy, and I'm gonna leave that alone. Let me move on to Jeremiah 29:11, and we're gonna start moving. We're gonna start wrapping this up. 29:11. This scripture has done wonders. This scripture alone has done wonders in my life, because it has not always been easy as I have been going forth in the Lord. It has not. I said it again. It has not always been easy. And God has always, and a lot of times, sent this particular scripture to me during the time that I'm getting ready to come out of a hard place. This is most likely when God begins to show up, when he sends this particular scripture. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Listen, you might feel broke, busted, and disgusted even as of right now. You may be going through some terrible heartaches. You might be going through some time of bereavement. You may be going through all kind of such of mind battles. You may be going through temptation. You may be going through you may be actually going through some spiritual warfare stuff, but God knows his thoughts and what he's thinking towards you. You may feel like it's overbearing. You may there is no way out, but God knows his thoughts towards you. Saith the Lord, he knows what you can handle, and his thoughts is of peace and not of evil. Even though you're looking at evil, even though how David said, even yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for his rod, his staff, it comforts me. Yes, you may be in a, what we call a pickle, but God said, I know my thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. He said, and I'm allowing you to go through some of these things that you're facing so that you can learn, of my goodness, so that you can learn of my compassion, so that you can, so that you can have this relationship with me. 11:29, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. In a lot of cases, in a lot of scenarios, God is trying to teach us just how to rest in him. Give no thought to what it is you're going to need, or how this is going to be met, or how this bill going to be paid. If you do your part, if you have done your part, then God is going to do his part. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Yes, even in the famine. Yes, even during inflation. He's going to do his part. What a mighty God. What a great God we serve, love, and worship. So with that, I'm coming to a close. And to those of you that may not have received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, who don't know him, but you do know that, or you believe that he's the Son of God and you'd like to give your heart to the Lord, just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you as a sinner. I believe that you gave your only begotten Son for my sins. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe that on the third day you raised him from the dead, and with all power, he rose with all power from the dead. He's now sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for the saints. I believe this with my heart and I confess it with my mouth. And you said, if I did so, I am saved. Now, Father, wash me in your blood. Make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. And we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory for it. Father, bless those who may have said this prayer. And if you said this prayer, if you want someone who can pray with you, pray for you, please hit a brother up. Facebook, Brian Blasingame. Instagram, Brian Blasingame. Snapchat, I'm there. Feel free to text, call, let me know. We'll be willing to pray for you, pray with you. If you are around a church that's spirit-filled, visit that church. See if that's the church God will have you to go to. But until then, we thank you for listening. And we say unto you, whatever you do, do it in decency and do it in honor. But most of all, do it for his glory. We out. Kim again. Kim, we love you. We thank you. Please take us out. Good night. Amen.
As I look out in the world, troubles are the same. I'm gonna fall down on my knees and call on Jesus' name. Now I'm here to testify how he brought me through. What God did for me, he'll do the same for you.
The Lord, he worked it out.
Yes, he
for
did.
Him, without
a doubt. Locked out in the cold.